And we're back. Hopefully you are still with us. But if this is your first time listening in to the show tonight, welcome to Blank Canvas. I am your guest host, Malika Pryor Martin. I am the Communications and Development Officer at the NAGB. And I am in the house tonight with two amazing members of Team NAGB. Assistant Curator Ricardo Barrett and Community Outreach Officer, because I never have her as one of my guests, Ms. Abby Smith. And you are listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. You can live stream us at www.guardiantalkradio.com, or you can download TuneIn Radio and listen to us. Just head to the app or Play Store. Click, get, cloud. Oh wait, sorry. That's I'm being iPhone centric. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Android people. It might not be a cloud for you guys. But whatever the case, you just download TuneIn from the Play Store or the App Store if you're an Apple person, and listen to us and take us wherever you're going, because that's just an awesome option. And we've been talking about trans and migration of identity, which is just this amazing, dynamic, fabulous show. If you say awesome, sometimes it gets to be a little overused. People say awesome all the time and it's really not true. It'll be like mediocre and people are like, that's awesome. But this isn't like, it's not the only exception, but it's certainly one of the exceptions. I'm so excited for this exhibition. It is traveling to Rock Sound Eleuthera.
Yes, it is.
It's traveling to Rock Sound Eleuthera tomorrow and opens Monday.
Yep.
Just 5 days away, ladies and gentlemen, just 5 days away on March 5th. And we were talking just a little bit about, and I know we won't be able to talk about it like forever, but I did just want to be able to come back to those questions around like personal identity and how you use art to be able to engage questions. I mean, both personal as well as sort of collective and national identity. So you pick the art and then I'm sure on some level you're thinking about how it works broadly, but then you have to actually put it together. Mm-hmm. And you have to decide where it's going to go on the walls and how it's going to speak to this theme and how it's going to tell a story, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so just kind of take us through that process. And I think, Ricardo, this is probably more a question for you, but how then does one decide where the art goes, so that when somebody is walking through and they begin to engage this conversation with the art, I mean, of course, everything's not going to be obvious because art isn't always obvious. Mm-hmm. But where it certainly is, there's a continuity to it. How do you determine as a curator what belongs with what and where?
So the approach we took with this exhibition, mm-hmm, was the idea of familiarity. So basically a lot of the works that kind of address the same topics, mm-hmm, went in certain rooms or certain sections.
Okay.
And the way the mission, One Eleuthera, is set up, it's a building, is almost an historic, it's a historical building, much like our Villa Doyle. And in that way we could kind of section off paintings so you could kind of take it in sections, essentially.
Okay.
So there's this whole
idea. Like vignettes of, almost.
Yes. So there's like moments of like taking in information and just like experiencing these particular collection of artworks together.
Okay.
And when you initially go in, there's this whole idea of the history, where we came from. This whole idea of how we currently like see ourselves in this like, you know, traumatic experience in terms of our past. As you go on, it's like challenges that we're facing now, the people, who we are, what we do. And then we go into essentially how are we dealing with the other.
Okay.
In terms of our just personal experiences and how we see ourselves in our own heritage, in our own little bubbles and our families.
Yeah.
And then you go to this whole idea of belief systems and how that also shapes like who we are and, you know, what we choose and choose not to engage in terms of people, because that kind of that our religious kind of background kind of keeps us in a box or liberates us as well. So this whole, all these conversations that kind of lead into like our, you know, our migration of our identity.
Awesome. See, I just said it again, but that's because it really is awesome, you guys. And Trans Immigration of Identity, the second ever inter-island traveling exhibition that features nothing but the national collection. That means if you are Bahamian, these images, although you may not take them home, belong to you. They are a part of an institution that benefits from public investment. And so it's important, and we wouldn't be affecting our mission as the NAGB if we didn't do what it takes to bring the art to the entire population to the very, very best of our ability. And so it's a gorgeous exhibition. You know, we're not bringing you pop-up exhibition. It's quite legitimate. An incredible amount of work has gone into it. We're so incredibly grateful to One Eleuther Foundation and our other partners who are facilitating the entirety of this experience. And I'm just so grateful. I know that the team is really, really excited. Abby and Ricardo are going to be joined by Jackson Petit, our digital media manager as well, who's going to be recording, because this is the world premiere. This is the first time that this exhibition is going to be hitting any island. So Eleuthera, get ready. And again, it only happens on the Family Islands. The Inter-Island Traveling Exhibition is exclusive to Family Islands. And so even if you live in Nassau, if this is something that you feel is compelling to you, it's also a wonderful opportunity to get off this rock and head to
the bigger rock.
Right, head to some bigger ones, because typically they are bigger than us, mm-hmm. even though it's a bunch of people that live on New Providence. and like longer beaches, in the case of Eleuther, pink sand, I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. Sand.
Mm-hmm. And like you can't even hear a car driving by.
You can hear a car driving by there.
But not in all the places. Like in some places where it's like you don't hear no cars.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I get to be right every other Wednesday and most Thursdays. So what's happening in New Providence for those of us who are here at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas? Because so often we get the question, what are y'all doing there? Do you make art? For the record, most of our professional staff and even our support staff are actually makers. They're actually creators. I am not one. I'm a lawyer by trade, which I'm sure you can tell because I'm, you know, incredibly boring in my verbal presentation. Psych, you didn't think I was a lawyer. You didn't think I was a lawyer. But I'm not a maker. However, most are makers. However, nobody is like creating at the Villa Doyle. Can I get an amen? Is that true? Can I get like a bearing of witness that there is no actual art being created at the NAGB? But there's art on display, and there's also incredible programming that happens at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. And so one of the things that we're working really hard to do is to make sure that the community has awareness about what we're doing and that there's a variety of programming. So sometimes we'll also hear like, y'all only do stuff for like people who are artists or people who are creatives or, you know, people who maybe are students or are operating in a specific area or are doing certain kinds of things. And it's not true. I promise you, we're doing really, really interesting and diverse programming, and also have some really, really interesting and diverse exhibitions, that one of which is closing, which is an amazing exhibition. If you have not seen it yet, go see Medium. Mm-hmm. Go see Medium. I know that Ricardo, we sort of almost ended the conversation around the impact and the import of religion and spirituality in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. And Medium is literally a show that explores with depth and nuance and beauty and honesty that very same idea. It's an incredibly diverse show. It has from media, like art Medium, to, you know, the artists themselves, the eras from which they come, the subjects and the angles and the perspectives from which they speak. One of the things that it always reminds me of is just how the strength of religious and spiritual connection here in the Bahamas in a very like particular and specific way informs how artists create in a kind of explicit manner that, in like being from the States, like you don't often see. you don't often see this. It's certainly not with like contemporary practicing artists. You don't often see thematically younger artists who are quite intentionally and very specifically speaking from a spiritual place point, mm-hmm. And very openly speaking from a spiritual place point. Often there's kind of like this divide, almost like a separation of church and creativity in a way. Mm-hmm. And with Medium, it just, you know, it just explores it head on and allows the broader Bahamian public to see its practice, mm-hmm. you know, quite literally on the walls. It's a beautiful exhibition. It features Natika Nnedi Simonet in one of our temporary galleries. It's also a wonderful ode to our artists here in the Bahamas who are self-taught, and we have like some really amazing artists who did not venture off to the RISDs and the SCADs of the world, or who, you know, didn't do certification at COB, now UB. Shout out to the Mingos. Was it Caribs before?
Yep.
It's okay. If you were a Carib, shout out to the Caribs too. But even if you didn't have that sort of tertiary and collegiate university-based experience either here or abroad, there are amazing artists. I mean, obviously, I think Amos Ferguson, I think it's safe to say that he's probably the most famous mm-hmm. of our self-taught artists. But you have Wellington Bridgewater, who I know you mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. who's also going to be featured in Trans: A Migration of Identity, who has a wonderful vignette. You have Rembrandt Taylor.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, yo, mm-hmm. if you haven't seen his work, you need to come see Medium.
Mm-hmm. You have a whole room dedicated.
Yes, there's like an ode. It's like an ode to Rembrandt. That closes on March 11th. So if you haven't seen it yet, come see it. For residents, every single Sunday, your NAGB is open and available to you for free, and it's always at a discount. If you're visiting from abroad, if you're visiting temporarily, it is a very modest $10 entry point for adults. But there are lower points and discounts for students. It's free for kids 12 and under. So this becomes a wonderful activity, especially if you've still got young people that are on midterm. If you're taking some time off, mom, dad, grammy, auntie, uncle, and you want to find something other than the typical activity, the NAGB is a wonderful opportunity to bring them when it's, you know, not super busy earlier in the day, where they get this chance and this opportunity to really engage with the art. So Medium, Roots and Practices of Spirituality and Mysticism, closes on March 11th. So you have just under 2 weeks to be able to go and see all of that magnificent work. March 8th, we have our monthly film series, which is curated as a partnership. And Ricardo, if you can tell us just a little bit about, or at least just tell us what the film is. Is it Orpheus?
It's Orpheus.
Okay. Which is a fabulous historic film. A lot of the films in our series are quite diverse. They're not typically Bahamian films, although we did have a short from a Bahamian artist that was featured at our last monthly film series, if I recall correctly. Mm-hmm. But they do speak thematically to universal ideas that apply to the Bahamas. And it's also just a wonderful way for us here to be able to access art house films. You know, if you go to other places abroad, there are theaters that are specifically and almost exclusively focused on this. For us, if there isn't a monthly film series here, we have to wait for the most part for film festivals, which are mm-hmm. wonderful and fantastic, and I always look forward to them. But it means that we only get to see those really interesting and less popular films. But sometimes they're don't judge me, but a lot of times they're like way better than a lot of the films that we see that are, you know, that are going to be blockbusters and that are going to get all of the attention. And so that's one of the other purposes that we serve as mm-hmm. as a national institution, and that is providing space and opportunity for the general public to be able to access things that otherwise would be much more difficult to access.
It's also a nice introduction to the space. If you've never been to the National Art Gallery, you don't have time because of work or whatever, try and come up to one of our film screenings. It's, like I said, a nice introduction to the space.
Yeah.
And depending on whether or not our security is being, like, kind that night, he could turn on the lights and let you in.
They're always kind.
Yeah.
They might not let you in, but they're always really nice.
You know, even if it's one of those moments where you don't know nothing about the film screening or the movie that's being shown, come out.
Yeah, no, indeed. Absolutely. Yeah, just come through. March 13th, the soft opening in our PS space. And a lot of people don't realize that almost on a monthly basis, there's a new exhibition at the NAGB. Even if it's only in our project space, which is this more experimental space, it gives opportunities to emerging artists, to younger artists, to artists who are, you know, figuring things and moving through things. It sometimes provides us an opportunity for a more established artist to be featured in a more intimate way and in a way that's like very specific to their work. So Drew Weish opens on March 13th.
Yeah, and he's one of those artists where you just have to come, you have to look at his artwork. It's one of the things that questions, like, can I do art? Should I do art? Like, is a lot of his pieces are kind of, I guess you would say, simplistic in nature. But the process is very, like, technical, and, you know, you just have to come out and see. And like you said, it changes a lot. So it's not like you could wait a long period of time to come and see it. You just have to just come.
You gotta hurry up. You gotta go.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. And then on the 22nd, there is a double opening of two major exhibitions. One, Suffering to Remain, which is in partnership with the British Council. And then Traversing the Picturesque, which is an historic survey and sort of speaks to some of that more picturesque and pastoral imagery that we discussed before. But then it's also a part of what Bahamian art has been. So also speaking to this idea of sort of remaking oneself. We don't see it nearly as often anymore. Contemporary artists aren't really so much focused on trees and flowers, but it is something that was really, really important to the Bahamian developmental art process.
Yes.
And so Traversing the Picturesque gets to do that. Now, Suffering to Remain is definitely a bit different. I know that there are three Bahamian artists that are going to be specifically featured, and they are creating work in response to Graham Fagan, who's a Scottish artist, who's created a piece that does speak to the trauma of the transatlantic slave trade and is drawn from a piece by a Scottish writer, I believe, who wrote this piece in the late 18th century about the tragedy and the trauma of the transatlantic slave trade. Now, who are those three artists, Ricardo?
So three artists, John Beadle, Nina Major, and Sonia Farmer.
Okay.
Who all have like very interesting and different practices. But for this exhibition, there are a lot of similarities in terms of the context of their work that is interesting.
And again, kind of speaking to this notion of a pan-Caribbean idea, of a national idea, and then also how these realities have had a transatlantic impact, because the impetus for Suffering to Remain is actually the work of this Scottish artist who initially presented at the Venice Biennale, represented Scotland at the Venice Biennale, I think, in 2015. And sort of a conversation more broadly began there. But it's just interesting because when we think about that moment in time, which of course lasted a couple of centuries, with regard to the transatlantic trade, it impacted, you know, everywhere darn near. I mean, it impacted ultimately the entire continent of Africa. It impacted, you know, the way in which Europe was able to operate in the rest of the world. And it changed the entire demographic landscape permanently of a whole hemisphere. So it's just, you know, incredible to think about how important it is to continue that conversation because it informs so much of how we see ourselves and understand ourselves today.
It keeps coming up.
Yes, and it won't stop until we, like, have the conversation. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people are like, why are you still talking about this? Like, because it still matters. it still matters.
It's crazy because every time we have a discussion about all these things, like, I keep telling people, like, we as a people need to know our history.
Yes.
I've recently started reading this book called Historic Bahamas by Dr. Saunders. And
shouts out to Dr. Gail Saunders.
Yep, Dr. Gail Saunders.
And on that note, with a lovely and fantastic shout out to Dr. Gail Saunders, we want to thank you for joining us tonight on Blank Canvas. check out our website, nagb.org.bs, to find out about everything that's happening in the month of March, which is tomorrow. I want to thank my very special guests, Assistant Curator Richardo Barrett and Community Outreach Officer Abby Smith, for joining me, Malika Pryor Martin, sitting in for Amanda Carlson. This is Blank Canvas on 96.9. Have a wonderful night, folks. Thanks.